morning, Annette and Neil Campbell are with us. Annette and Neil are from Calgary. So why don't you give them a real good island welcome as they come and minister this morning.
Good to be here. It's good to be in PEI. Annette and I have been married for 35 years, and we have three daughters. Candace is 32, Chantel is 28, and our youngest is just turning 24. And two of them are married, and we got two grandsons, Nate the Great, who is 8, and Caleb the Conqueror, who is 5, and we also have three grand dogs, and I don't know, we inherited all them, but we pastored for over 25 years across Canada, mostly in Alberta, and we're excited to see what God is doing. The battle that we need to be fighting is for marriages and family, because the fruit is what we see in the brokenness in our society. And we are believing God to see restoration and generational blessing upon our families. If you think about it, Canada has 15 to 20 generations of people that have immigrated over here, and if the First Nations before that. But God looks in generations. God doesn't just look at our generation now, but we need to look at the generations to come. And as you become grandparents, you begin to understand this. You know, you begin to understand the generational blessing that is upon Canada, and that God has a purpose, God has a plan for our nation that I believe is unique in all of the nations of the world. And God is establishing, I believe, apostolic equipping centers like this church, which is an embassy. It's not a church. It is a church, but it's not a church. It's an embassy. And I like that name because God has called you not to just sit in the nice, comfortable chairs, but God has called you to go into your nation. He's called you to go into your community, to go into your world and make a difference and to bring healing to the families that are in our communities, that are in your communities. As you know, we're part of a ministry called Family Foundations International, and the founders of our ministry are Craig and Jan Hill. And God began to give him a message out of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, and where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." And as Craig was looking at that passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit just kind of quickened to him, and he looked at that word ancient. And out of that, in the Hebrew, it is the word olam. Olam is a word that doesn't just mean ancient, but it means from out of eternity. These are the ancient paths. These are the ways of God that we find in His Word. His words are true, past, present, and future. And we need to learn to rely on these, on this Word to teach us to build a foundation for our nation. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And so some of the ways that Annette and I have been called to do that is to work with raising up coordinators and team across Canada, the United States, and around the world. But you know, we, as much as we enjoy going to those other places, our heart is in Canada. So some of the ways that we do that is we do these schools of ministry that are training people, and we're doing this one in PEI, we're doing one in Kona, Hawaii, and then we do a two-week school of ministry in Denver, Colorado in July. And the reason that I mention that is because these schools of ministry are not about us teaching you, but it's about people being transformed. And so I'm asking you as a congregation this week to be praying for the pastors and the leaders and the people that are attending this school of ministry this week. They've taken already a Friday night and all day Saturday. We're going to go Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, where there's going to be so much transformation, because 80% of what we're doing is about personal transformation, so that the Holy Spirit can take out the things that are in us that hinder the work of God and the flow of His Spirit, so that they can impart something into the rest of the congregation, into the rest of the city. So pray for them. And then we're going to be going all day Thursday and all day Friday with another 8 or 10. I think there's 26 people that are registered plus our 6 team. And so it's an amazing time for transformation in people's lives. And so we're asking you to pray. Whenever you think about your pastor, you think about other people that are attending, just lift them up, because it isn't about us. It's about Jesus and what Jesus wants to do, because Jesus is the wonderful counselor. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about apostolic equipping centers in Acts chapter 13. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, let's look at Acts chapter 13. It says, "Now in the church at Antioch, there was prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." Let's pray. Father, I ask God that you would just speak to each person that's in this place today. God, you have a plan. You have a purpose. God, you have a destiny. God, speak to our spirit man today. Lord, give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us as individuals, how we can be world changers, how we can be ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And everyone said. So we see in this passage of scripture that they are set up in a city called Antioch. Antioch was a key city in the Roman Empire. Some historians say that there was almost 500,000 people that lived in Antioch. It was a commercial center. It was based on the coast of the Adriatic Sea. And so a lot of fleets, a lot of armies, a lot of people would come in and out of this place. It was also the mint. How many have been to the Canadian Mint down in Ottawa? Has anybody been down there? Okay, a few of you have been there. And this was the place where they would mint the coins for the kingdom. And it was a very prosperous city. And it was a place where Paul and Barnabas were fasting and praying, and they were seeking the Lord. It was a sending base. It was a key city. It was one of the key cities in the Roman Empire. But it became a key city for the kingdom of God. And I believe that right here in Charlottetown and this surrounding area, that this is a key city for Canada. This is one of the key cities and the key regions that God wants to use to become an embassy, a sending place into your province, a sending place into Canada, and a sending place into the nations. Can somebody say amen? So what you want to look at is that the word apostolos. It says that the apostles were praying and fasting, and they sent Paul and Barnabas there, and that word sent, set apart, means the apostolos. That's the sent out ones. And in the Roman Empire, that word had the connotation of sending out the fleet. So Caesar would send out the Roman fleet to different areas, or he would send out the Roman army to squelch and to conquer other countries. And that this was the sending out. So the word has the meaning for us is that we are the sent out ones, that God is sending us out as ambassadors from the embassy of the kingdom of God. Can somebody say amen? And in this period of history, Octavius was the Caesar of the day, and he established what is called and known as Pax Roma, which was 200-year period of relative peace in the Roman Empire. And I believe that God is wanting us to shift our mindsets from being a church into being a sending agency. And you've already got that on your name. You are the embassy of the kingdom of God. So what you need to understand is that if you're an embassy, then God's called you to be an ambassador. He is sending you out into your workplace. He is sending you out into the hockey rinks. He is sending you out into the governmental realms. He is sending you out into business. He is sending you out into your families. God is in the business of sending you out for three purposes: to invade, to occupy, and transform. Can you say invade, occupy, transform? That's what God is calling you to do. God is calling you to invade, occupy, and transform Prince Edward Island. God has given you this place to be a difference maker, to be a world changer, to come in and to invade, occupy, and transform. I'm not talking about a military invasion in the physical realm, but maybe in the spiritual realm. Even as we were singing in that song a few moments ago, God is calling us and raising us up to be an army that's going to make a difference. And you might think, well, how can we make a difference in PEI? You know what? It only takes 3% of a people group of any place to make a difference. 3% of 150,000 is about 4,500 people. That's all you need to make a difference in PEI. You want to make a difference in government and PEI? If 4,500 people from churches that have the same kind of thinking and the same kind of vision that you do, you can make a difference in government. You want to make a difference in education in your province? All you need is 4,500 people. You just need a 3%. 3% rule the world. And you need to understand that you are world changers and that together you can make a difference. You know, just for example, in government, how can 3% make a difference? Well, it's usually only about 3% of the people that actually nominate the candidates that get voted into any riding. As I went for a jog yesterday, and Annette and I, or 2 days ago, and Annette and I went for a walk from the West River over to Noel Mel's house. You know, we see all these signs up all over the place with different pictures of people, all the different candidates. And did you know that less than 300 people, probably less than 100 people, voted those candidates into the position that they're in? So really, 150,000 people don't really decide the fate of PEI. 150 people probably decided the fate of that one candidate that got nominated. And so you as a church can make a difference in nominating the candidates that have the character, that have the courage, that have the capacity to lead your province, to stand for what is right in your province. Can somebody say amen? And there's some of you that are called to do it. You're called to get involved and to be a difference maker in that realm or that sphere of influence. Well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. I want to talk a little bit about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great had a strategy that I believe that was given to him to rule the world. And we can see in this map here that he literally ruled most of the then known world about 300 years before Christ. And what we need to understand about Alexander the Great is that what he would do is he would go into a nation and he would establish a beachhead into that nation. And then after he established a beachhead into that nation, he would conquer key cities. See, when he conquered the key cities, then he could take control of all of the finances. He could take control of all of the things in those cities. And so he would strategically conquer the key cities. In fact, named many of them after himself, Alexandria, Alexander. Over 70 cities were named after him. He would conquer them and then name them after himself. He would change their names and say, now you're Alexander. And what that was literally saying is that now you're under my rule and you're under my command. But here was the genius behind Alexander the Great. You see, Alexander the Great was his dad was Philip the Great. And Philip was from Philippi, which we know was in the Bible. And Annette and I were there recently in June. And but Philippi was a key city. And Philip hired Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, to train his son Alexander in the things and the culture of Greek. And so him and all of the princes were steeped in Greek philosophy and Greek culture. And so he loved Greek language, he loved Greek customs, he loved Greek government, he loved Greek business and finances, he loved Greek arts and entertainment, Greek medicine, Greek religion. He loved that. And what he would do is he would come into a nation and into these key cities and take 200 families. It may be a city of 200,000. But he would take 200 families, just 3% of the population. He would take these families and he would put them into these key cities, into Ephesus and into Antioch, into all of these key cities, and they would teach Greek language, Greek customs, Greek government, and all of these things. And he would literally transform those nations and those cities to be steeped in Greek thinking. So successful was that, that you and I today, for the most part, are Greek thinkers. We are still part of the philosophy of Aristotle, Socrates, and Plato is very much how Western civilization was founded. But you see, God had a plan. God was setting things up by having one world language and one world thinking and one world commerce. Now the Romans have taken over. But the main language that was spoken, the trade language that was spoken everywhere was Greek. And so that when the Apostle Paul comes around, and we see that God has a divine strategy for the Apostle Paul, and God takes him and he establishes the same things. He goes to all of these key cities. Go to the slide that has the picture of Apostle Paul's journeys. And you see Antioch up at the top of Syria. And you see his first missionary journey that he goes to some key cities there. He goes to those key cities. And what Paul does is he sets up an apostolic team in each one of those cities to bring transformation to those cities on his first missionary journey. Then we see on his second missionary journey that he goes to, he gets the Macedonian call. You remember in earlier in the book of Acts, Paul gets called to Macedonia. Now, Macedonia, so he's coming from Antioch down to up and over through Asia Minor, and he goes into Macedonia, which is the purple, which is Philippi, and all of those places up there, into Corinth, into Athens, into Greece, and he establishes the gospel. And here is the thing that we need to understand, that Paul could go into all of those places and preach the word because he knew Greek. And all of the people that were thinking knew Greek as well. Now, Paul went to the Jew first, and then the Bible says to the Greek. If you read the book of Acts, every time that Paul goes into a city, he goes to the Jew first, and he usually, you know, preaches there for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they take him outside of the wall and stone him or beat him because they don't like what he's saying and what he's talking about. But he goes to the Jews. Many of them get converted. And then he goes to the Greek. And the Bible says time after time after time after time that many Greeks came to know the Lord. Why did the Greeks come to know the Lord? Because I believe they were steeped in Greek philosophy of this one thing, is that wasn't Greek mythology, that all these war gods and all these things, but Greek philosophy. Plato said these words, all good must come from an unknown God. On Mars Hill, the Apostle Paul preached a message for 1 minute and 40 seconds. And he talked about the unknown God, and he quoted some of the Greek philosophers, and many Athenians came to know the Lord. Many Greeks came to know the Lord because they were ready. I want you to know that there are many people that are living in your cities. There are many people that are living in your towns that they are just waiting to hear from the Lord. But I believe that as your church begins to pray and begins to take people, that you're going to see transformation happen in your communities. Can you say amen? Yeah. Amen. And so that really means that we need to change our thinking to become apostolic, to be sent out ones. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says the Bible that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. So what did he give the fivefold for? He gave it for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the body of Christ. And so Pastor was honoring many of you that are serving in the church. And that is something that we have to have. The diakonos were the servants in the church. But it says the diakonos, the deacons, were full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen was one of those diakonos. He was one of those deacons. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and his job was to serve the widows and to serve, you know, make sure that everybody got treated equally. But the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit, and he preached mightily, and signs and wonders followed him. He was the first martyr. And we need to understand that you are serving in the church, but you need to be filled with the Spirit so that when you go out of the church, you will preach the gospel mightily. Signs and wonders will follow you. You are going to be ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you begin to target your city and you begin to target your neighborhoods with blessing. You're going to bring transformation to those areas. And so I really believe that that is a shift in the mindset of the church, is that as Pastor was saying, that when he was saved in the early 80s, that most of the thought of the church was, well, we don't really need to be involved in the spheres of government or the spheres of media or all these other areas of life, because we're here and we're just holding on till Jesus comes. But we need to get a shift in our thinking that we are apostolos, we are sent ones. Every one of us are sent ones. Every one of you, turn to your neighbor and just point at you and say, you're a sent one. You are sent to your world. You are sent into these realms of business, of entertainment, of education, of family, government, media, religion.